Last September, in the aftermath of Hurricane Ike, a magnificent frigate bird got blown off course and ended up in Ithaca, New York. Birders were thrilled to discover it on September 21st, and it was still there first thing in the morning on September 22nd, but looking hunched over and weak. A bit later, it was found dead. Magnificent frigate birds are birds of the open ocean. They belong to the same order that includes pelicans, anhingas, and cormorants. Males have a large, bare, colorful gular pouch, a bit like pelicans do, but the frigate bird pouch is inflatable, used for courtship displays. Males sometimes fly with the sac inflated like a huge red balloon, but on the breeding areas, males sit together with their pouches inflated, clattering their bills and quivering their wings as females fly over. Frigate birds are the only seabirds with obvious sexual dimorphism. The males have that colorful gular pouch, and females are larger and weigh 11 to 23% more than the males. Frigate birds have only barely webbed feet set on very short legs. Darwin studied two species of them. Both magnificent and great frigate birds are found in the Galapagos Islands, and he found the vestiges of webs on their feet to be interesting because they have no current adaptive value but haven't entirely disappeared. Even more than anhingas, frigate bird feathers lack waterproofing, so they never swim. They catch some squids and fish near the ocean's surface. Their favorite food seems to be flying fish, and they follow tuna and other predatory fish, which drive smaller fish to the surface where the frigate birds can get them. They also chase and harass birds that have recently fed, forcing them to regurgitate. They catch the food before it hits the ocean. Magnificent frigate birds are breathtakingly beautiful birds. Their amazingly long, pointed wings, unlike anything else. I've seen them whenever I've been near the coast in Mexico, Costa Rica, Trinidad, and Ecuador, and near the Florida Keys. And because of the strange, cool shape, the sight of even a distant one is unmistakable and thrilling. So birders were understandably drawn to the shockingly rare one that turned up in Ithaca, and then understandably dismayed and saddened when it died. But the birding community in Ithaca has a very strong focus on science, so they naturally retrieved the carcass and brought it to the Cornell University Museum of Vertebrates downstairs in the Lab of Ornithology. I took photos of the poor thing before it was spirited away by Ryan Bacalar, a medical doctor as well as a birder, who performed a necropsy on it in North Carolina and then returned it to Cornell. The Cornell Vet School reviewed the pathology slides, too. This week, Ryan posted on the Cayuga Birds listserv the results of his necropsy. The poor bird had three different bad things going on in its body, some pretty yucky-looking parasites invading the lower pectoral muscles, a few nematodes in the digestive tract, and a lesion in the lower aspect of the left lung that appeared to be aspergillosis. But the actual cause of death was starvation. The bird could hardly catch flying fish so far from the ocean. Photos of the necropsy and Ryan's entire report are posted on my Twin Beaks blog as CSI Ithaca. It's not for the squeamish, but it is very interesting. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.